But we'll just turn to Romans 8. Sunday morning, been talking about the high priest and how Melchizedek and all that, how that came about, who he was. But in Romans 8, we're talking about the Holy Ghost and throughout Wednesday nights. And I believe walking in the Spirit is important in a Christian's life. And we don't always walk in the Spirit. We don't always, we get in the flesh a lot. And the flesh gets controlling us. And the flesh is what ruins us and ruins our testimony. And if we walk in the Spirit as as Jesus Christ would have us to walk, then we would be more successful as Christians, more successful rather than getting upset about stupid things. Monday night, man, we had two buses break down, and we had brake line break on one, and I rushed it home, and then we had some people had some problems and just stupid things that happened. But it was like a firestorm Monday night, right when we got started. And with the brake lines busted, and I ran home, I had brake lines there, and I fixed that, brought it back. The other bus, the transmission, it wouldn't shift into high gear. It would stay in 45 miles an hour. I took it home and worked on it, come back. And you almost look around and say, man, was it full moon or what? But that's the problem you'll face. Sometimes the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small. And you gotta have strong faith. When the things happen, when unexpected things happen, you just gotta keep trusting God and go on, do what you can do and just go on and not get in the flesh. So, it's easier said than done. I can tell you that, because we are in the flesh. The Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation to them that walk, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. So as a Christian, we're basically commanded through the word of God to be walking in the spirit. And it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit. And we're supposed to be filled with the spirit on a daily basis, whatever you do. Whatever work you do, whatever job you have, you're supposed to be in the Spirit. It says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And I tell you this, if a man is, when he gets behind the pulpit and preaches and stuff, and I've done it in the flesh, I'll tell you that right now, I've got up, preached in the flesh. But if you preach in the Spirit of God, the Lord will use it, and people get help. And people be encouraged, and people get saved. And I've always said this, whenever I preach, I like to see somebody get saved, especially if I preach a funeral. I want to see people get saved. Now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after spirit. There was a guy, a young lady going to Bible school down PBI. She came to Bible school, and Brother John showed me. She came to John, asked him a question. And her pastor told her to mark out the last part of Romans 8:1. So she took a pen and marked it out of her Bible. Now, see what it says is, therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So the last part of it, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. So her pastor told her, to mark that out, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. And John said, he's crazy. That's stupid. Because everybody's, you walk out, sometimes you'll get in his flesh, and the Bible tells you not to walk after his flesh, but after spirit. And her pastor didn't believe that. He believed once you got saved, you're saved all over. My soul's saved, but my flesh is not saved. This flesh right here, it's not saved. Not yet. Because of why? The Bible says the Lord's going to change my vile body and fashion like on his glorious body. And when right now, it's up to me to control this thing, to keep the thing in check. It's up to me. And if I'm walking in the Spirit or talking about letting the Lord have his way in my life, then I'm allowing God to work on me and help me to control this thing. Because if this flesh has its way, all kinds of cursing be coming out. All kinds of filth and vile and, man, striking and all kinds of stuff like that will come out of me if I let this flesh right here hates God. Your flesh hates God. Your flesh doesn't want nothing to do with God. That's why the Bible talks about man being Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passing away, behold, all things become new. Your soul's saved, but your flesh is not saved yet. So that's why you get up one sometimes, you get up on Sunday morning and say, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like talking to nobody about God. I don't feel like doing that. And inside you, the new man, when you're growing, if you're growing, the new man is stronger than the old man. And the new man will say, you're going to do what you're supposed to be doing. You're going to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're going to pass out a tract. You're not going to handle anything filthy. You're not going to think about, you know, telling some filthy joke or watch some filthy thing or listen to some filthy stuff. And that new man, the new man inside you grow, and that's a spiritual man. That's the spiritual man. So he's got to control this thing. If not, this thing will end up destroying itself. And it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, verse 1, to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation in your life who walk not after flesh but after spirit. That's conditional. If you walk after the flesh, there's going to be condemnation. You're going to have condemnation in your life. For the law of spirit of life is Christ Jesus, who have made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. People in the world, you look at people in the world, that all they don't think about Jesus Christ. They don't think about his second coming. They don't think about people dying and going to hell. They don't think about their loved ones getting saved. They don't think about raising their children for Jesus Christ. They don't think about none of that stuff. They don't think about that. So they're walking after flesh, and they're living after flesh, and they're acting after flesh. So that's all you expect from them. But when a person, the Holy Spirit of God, start working on a man, he'll start wondering, questioning things. He'll start saying, is there a God? Does he care? I mean, where is God? Is there a hell? You got churches, preachers telling people there is no hell. There is no judgment afterwards and all that stuff. They're lying, people. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It says, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, the Bible calls it, to be carnally minded is death. See that thing? For a Christian, to be carnally minded is death. And boy, I'll tell you what, I could tell you story after story after story about carnal minded Christians. Me and Mike was talking about some people that used to be here that are not here anymore. And I said, I wonder what happened to them. I could tell you stories about people that's going on. The Lord's taking them home. And I know God took them home. I know it. For they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit the things of spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. You know, that Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You can check yourself. Every day you get up, you can check yourself. Do you have love and joy and peace in your life? Do you have love? These things are inward. They were inward. They're in here. You can't fake that. A lot of people try to fake love. They try to fake peace. They take pills for that. And you try to fake that love, you know, showing people you love them. You can fake it for so long, but that's about it. But then it says love, joy, having joy in your heart, having joy, having a song in your heart. And you know, the Bible says this for a Christian, for a child of God, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength. It'll make you, I mean, it gives you strength to go on. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It says, for they that do mind, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. I was telling somebody the other day, it was Joshua, a guy who lives down the road from us, got a beautiful home. He's got a couple of trailers that he rents out. He's got some nice old cars and all that. And we were talking about, and Josh said, yeah, that guy keeps it nice and looking place around there. I said, but the guy's not saved. That's all he's got. That's all he's got. And if you think I'd ever trade I wouldn't trade what I got for anybody for any amount of money. You say, oh, preacher, you're just saying that. And I mean that. I mean, what can a man get in exchange for his soul? How much money you think he could have to have to exchange for his soul? There ain't no amount of money that you can buy eternal life. No money. You couldn't buy it if you had owned the world. you couldn't buy it. So, man, you talking about having joy, you're thinking, man. I remember I was down in North Carolina one time at a camp meeting. An old Indian woman got up. And Billy Kelly was alive then. Billy Kelly, he was director of the camp meeting. And Billy Kelly said, we got a squaw here. She's old Indian squaw. She's going to come up here and sing for us. And everybody thought, you know, he was being kind of sarcastic. But he wasn't. He said, come on up here, sister. And she walked up there, just an old Indian woman. I think she was Cherokee. And she got up there and brought Billy Kelly said, come on up behind the pulpit here. And she said, uh-uh. She wouldn't get up behind the pulpit. He said, why not? Come on over here, sister, sing behind the pulpit. And she said, no. She said, that's God's man's place. I won't sing behind that. So they took her a microphone, and she sang over there. You know what she sang? I tell you what, I felt like a beehive turned loose in my soul. I got running around there screaming and yelling, jumping over pews. She started singing, I'm a Millionaire. And she talked about how Jesus Christ died for her. And now she said, I went down a beggar. She said, I went down a beggar, but I came up a millionaire. And then she was talking about her salvation. And boy, I tell you what, when you got saved, you got something big. You got something that money can't buy. It says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Then it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we all get in the flesh. We all get carnally minded. We get wanting this, wanting that. Why not me having this? Why not, you know, all this stuff that we think about? To be carnally minded is enmity against God. So to be, but it says it's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So you say, can you walk in the Spirit? Yeah, you can. So how do you do it? Every day you get up, read your Bible or pray and say, Lord, help me to keep my mind stayed on thee. Sing to him. Think about people. Think about the souls of men. Pray for your loved ones. That Bible says, pray without ceasing. And people say, oh, that's impossible. No, you can pray for people. You can pray for people. And you can pray for your loved ones. But look at this. It says, so then, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of God, Christ, he's none of his. When you got saved, you got God's Spirit. But when the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit, it's being letting God have more of you, saying, Lord, I yield myself to you. I yield. You have your way in my life. And get in the Word of God. Spend some time with the Lord in prayer. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify, we call a guy a mortician, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the Spirit of, you have not received the Spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What happens when I first got saved? I got saved. I kept going back to the old ways. I kept going back to the drinking. I kept going back to the drugs here and there. About a year, I was up and down, up and down. And I would go back. I go right back into bondage again. Every time God set me free, I'd go back and mess with the same stupid stuff and go into bondage again. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. And some of them just get so tied in that bondage they never get out. They don't. They just stay there. They figure, well, they give up. They quit. They say, I'm just quitting. They stay in bondage. He says, you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. That's, man, what a great thing, be able to cry out to God. And Father, help me. The Spirit itself bears witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, and the whole creation is groaning and wanting the Lord to come. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but for by reason of him who hath subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The animals are going to be delivered from this old stinking world. That's why when you read Isaiah chapter 11, talks about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, it says the lion will lay down the lamb. The lion will have to eat the lamb again and kill it. They'll be able to be together. For we know that the whole creation groaneth, verse 22, and travaileth in pain together until now. For not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. It talks about being the Spirit, being in us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why do we yet hope for? For if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, I love this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're praying, most Christians are praying in the flesh. They're praying carnally, saying, God, give me $1 million. God, give me this, give me that. Help me hit the lottery. Help me do this, blah, blah, blah. And the Spirit of God's going, don't do it, Lord. Don't give it to him. It'll ruin him. And it'll ruin his life. For he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What the Spirit of God inside you is trying to get you to the place where you fulfill the will of God. God's will for you. And there's all kinds of things in the Bible that tells you what the will of God is for your life. It tells you. Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it is. Go over here. Ephesians 6 tells you about the will of God. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 is verse 10. It says this. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. As this is a spirit-filled believer. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Talking about a spiritual Christian. It says, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Mike and I was riding on the road today. We were listening to some of this politics talking on the radio. You only can listen to so much of that stuff. You get in the flesh, man. You just get mad. You get, man, this world is on a course, and, man, the God of this world running things. And my granddaughter, Tori, is interested in politics. And she listened to, I was talking to her the other day. We were riding in the road. I said, honey, don't let that stuff. She wants to be a judge. And I said, that's good and that's honorable. You want to be a judge and help change things. But I tell you what, don't let that thing get a hold of you, because if it gets a hold of you like that, it'll get you sucked in the system of this world. And the God of this world, that's who runs everything. But God can direct your life just like he did with Esther, like he did with so many others in the Bible, to get you in a place where he can use you and to fulfill his will. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand, he says, stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, which ye may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, and so on. And it goes on and talks about different faithful ministers of Jesus Christ. All right. But we'll stop right there. We're just talking about the Spirit. We'll get into a lot of that next week. But pray on a daily basis. Spend time in the Word of God on a daily basis. And pray for brethren, pray for brothers and sisters, pray for these kids running around here. They get saved. God put something in them that will last, that they won't fall by the wayside. And a lot of them, I know they have no control. Their parents will take them off and do different things. But the Bible says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, and he, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searched the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit. Have the joy of the Lord as your strength, and have the Spirit of God run in your life and day by day, and ask God to help you not to get in the flesh, because that the flesh is what kills. It destroys, and it'll hurt us. We want to try to, when Sunday morning, we try to get as high in here as we possibly can to get people thinking about the Lord. Okay, you come in Sunday morning, you think about all kinds of stuff. You think about what you got to pay, the bills coming in, the money you need, this and need that, what we're going to eat today, what we're going to have next week, how we're going to pay this, and how this, I mean, just all kinds of junk goes on. But when you lay it out to God and you put it down, put it in prayer, say, Lord, this is what's going on. Lord knows where you're at. He knows what you need. He knows what all of us need. And and the Spirit of God is making intercession for us. Just lay it out. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. All right, we're going to take a prayer request tonight. Take a prayer.